Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
It's Easter time, and the eggs are no doubt flowing throughout households right across the nation, maybe even in yours, certainly in mine. But you may or may not be aware, there's a dark side to chocolate. And I'm not talking about the percentage of cocoa content. A number of organisations are drawing attention to the fact that there's a bitter underside to this otherwise sweet treat, World Vision included. CEO of World Vision, Tim Costello, recently spent some time in West Africa to find out a little bit more about what's going on behind the chocolate trade, and he joins us now. Tim, it's good to have you on Open House again.
Yeah, pleasure to be with you.
You've just returned from Ghana and the Ivory Coast, I believe. How much of the world's chocolate can be traced back to West Africa?
70%. 70% of all the world's cocoa comes out of the West Coast there, Ivory Coast and Ghana, ends up in our chocolate box, and the unsavoury, disturbing revelations I discovered were that we have cheaper chocolate because of child labour, of trafficked kids, of hazardous child labour. And yeah, that certainly disturbs my conscience.
Absolutely. What did you see?
Well, in Ivory Coast, I went to a village where none of the kids went to school. None of their parents wanted them to be cocoa farmers, but to have an education. But that was denied them because they were needed to work long hours in hazardous conditions, chemical sprays often burning their eyes and flesh, and huge machetes that were razor sharp having to be handled by them. I saw in the capital, Abidjan, the police commissioner showed me the pictures of 203 trafficked children rescued in the last 6 months. Five of the traffickers put away for 5 years plus. And that all done without a police car, because they've only just set up the police unit, which shows how it is the tip of the iceberg.
Mm. Do you have any idea how many of the children who work on these plantations are actually trafficked?
Yeah, about 12,000, it's estimated, out of probably 600,000 children who work on plantations.
Okay, 12,000 are actually trafficked. 600,000 children working on plantations, that alone is bad, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You saw in Ghana, we saw in Ghana, where it's less trafficking from other countries. It's actually the internal trafficking from parts of Ghana which are poor. And their kids are told there will be, you know, some work, and they'll get fed, and the family can't afford to feed them, so they let them go. They are the ones who are the child labourers, and even the natural-born children are also at risk. So, yeah, it's a terrible situation.
So describe the link then between the chocolate that is made there and what we consume here in Australia, because some of us, you know, I just buy the chocolate from the supermarket. You know, I don't know where it comes from. I just buy it.
Yeah. Look, the truth is that we have known about this for some time, so much so that the chocolate companies have set up an NGO called the International Cocoa Institute and put $2 million into it to try and begin to clean up the child labour, child traffic supply chain. Sadly, they haven't put nearly enough dollars in to really deal with this significantly, and we all know that's because of profits. And whilst consumers are blissfully unaware that their cheaper chocolate is contributing to child trafficking and child labour, the chocolate companies are under no pressure. So we don't want to boycott. We don't want people to stop eating chocolate, because that throws those poor cocoa farmers out of the little livelihoods they have. Mm. We want pressure from consumers to say, I'm aware of this. Start putting serious dollars into to clean up the supply chain of child labour.
Okay. How can we do that? What practical measures can we in Australia take to do that?
Well, the most important way is to write to your chocolate company and say, you know, I'm aware of these challenges, and what are you doing? And I'm following it. Now, July this year is a really important opportunity, because in July this year, the chocolate company are meant to be able to certify that 50% of the cocoa is child labour free and trafficked child labour free. 50%.
Mm. Where has that come from? Where has that figure come from, and where has that deadline come from?
From the US, Senator Harkin's, Congressman Ingalls, back in the year 2001, said under the Farm Act, we don't allow trafficked goods into this country. And they were given until 2005 to reach 50%. They missed the deadline because they didn't spend enough dollars and didn't take it seriously enough, and now they've been given to July 2008.
Okay, and Australia's followed that same deadline and percentage?
Yep, that's right.
Have you got any idea as to whether that deadline's going to be met this year?
Look, what they're doing is survey work. So they're surveying and extrapolating, you know, from this percentage we could say X, Y, and Z to try and argue that they're meeting the deadline. But it's still pretty unconvincing.
Okay, so we really do need to be raising our voices.
Absolutely.
What about the role of the whole free trade chocolate thing? I mean, my wife and I went to go and buy some free trade chocolate the other day. Out of all of the chocolate that was on the shelves, we found one little block, and boy, was it expensive. But we still bought it for the sake of trying to doing the right thing.
Yep.
But how much of a role is that really playing?
Look, fair trade chocolates aren't less than 10% of the whole market. The chocolate companies, you know, aren't really interested in us buying it. And because this story has gone under the radar, there's not much on the shelves, because there hasn't been yet a consumer pressure saying we're buying fair trade chocolate until you clean this up. So what you did is absolutely necessary. I'm sorry you felt so lonely and it cost you so much, but we need a lot more people doing what you've just done to build up that consumer pressure.
If these chocolate companies actually did rise to what our voices say, come on, you've got to actually clean up your act, what would that actually mean at the field? How would things be different at the plantation level?
On the field, it would mean that we would build schools. We would actually, because almost all the cocoa farms are in remote areas in the jungle, and nobody cares enough, even though it's a huge export out of Ghana and Ivory Coast, to actually build schools and give kids a chance. We would be able to deal with some of the very poor, terrible infrastructure issues in these cocoa villages, where it's very difficult, you know, even to get roads in, and very difficult to get any medical help, and often clean water and those things. So this would say, well, I'm not going to be paying less for my chocolate at the price of people being denied essential services. What we're really saying is some of the profits of the chocolate companies have to be eaten into. And what we know is that the CEO of Mars, one of the big chocolate companies, personally is worth $10 billion. There is huge, huge profits here. So we mustn't allow greed to stop us acting.
Yes. Well, Tim Costello, thanks for your time, and we'll go and set about trying to raise our voices about the whole chocolate issue. Appreciate your time on Open House tonight.
That's a pleasure. Good to chat.
Yeah, that's World Vision CEO Tim Costello. World Vision's Good Chocolate Guide is at their Don't Trade Lives campaign website. Don'tTradeLives.com.au is the website. Don'tTradeLives.com.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.